In the gospel for today, the men who see the miracle of multiplication say, John 6, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus was that prophet, yea, and more than that prophet. Those of us who gathered here, those of us gathered here and baptized into his name, also acknowledge him as priest and king and son of the highest. He's the best human who ever lived and will ever live, and he'll come again as judge to bring righteousness to his people. He is also our Savior. From what is he saving us? From sin and hell and death, from the entanglements of the world, from the lures of the flesh, from the subtleties and traps of the devil. How are we delivered from all these things? By his mighty acts, which we celebrate in our worship, his nativity, his life, his death, his resurrection and ascension. Jesus is the word of the Father sent to us. He is the messenger and the message. He presents the very life of God to us. The way of our salvation is given to us by Jesus, but to realize this way, we've got to walk the path. Among other things that we need to do, we need to obey. We're Americans, so obedience doesn't sit well with something in our collective psychology. But I believe, not just me, but I believe it's the simplest way to attain the kingdom of God. Many church fathers speak about the importance of obedience and the swiftness of that path for spiritual progress and growth in the life of our Lord. Likewise, many modern saints have vouched for its relevance today. Historically, monks have taken vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Obedience is critical for monks following the rule of Saint Benedict, which is basically the ancient guide for the Western monastic tradition. Now, there are other roads which get us to our proper end, our telos. Not every way is right for everybody, but some combination of them will work for every follower of Christ. These routes are complementary and include, this is not an exhaustive list here, but include the way of obedience, which I'm going to talk a little bit about, and the way of asceticism, which is a long way. It's a long way to discipline the body and quiet the passions. We experience a little bit about this in Lent. Through ascetic acts, we are slowly purified. It's the discipline of denying oneself and carrying the cross. And the way of prayer. Now, everybody has to walk the way of prayer to some degree. There's effective prayer, there's contemplative prayer. I've spoken about this in the distant past, at least. But today, I'm focusing on the way of obedience. To obey requires that something be commanded of us. So what does Jesus command us? To shed some light on this, I resorted to the first gospel, the Gospel of Matthew. So I'm going to go through and talk about like the commands that Jesus gives us in the Gospel of Matthew. And I think you're going to see that they're relatively small number. Jesus was preceded by his cousin, John, who exhorts his listeners as he shows up for his ministry. First thing he says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So that repent ye is a command. He also says, "Bring forth fruits meet for repentance." And he says, "Every tree that which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Notice only the first of these, repent ye, is a command, while the second is more admonitory, and the third is a continuation of that. It's a warning for those who do not produce good fruit. So after Jesus' baptism by John, he is driven into the wilderness by the Spirit and tempted by Satan. In response to an appeal to hunger, Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, this is true for all of us, but he was saying it to the devil. There wasn't anybody else around. And that's admonitory, and it's from the Pentateuch. When Satan asks to trade rulership of the world for worship, Jesus shuts him down with, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now, this is a full command, also from the Torah. But his public ministry, not preaching to the devil, his public ministry begins with him addressing the people with the same command of his cousin. First one is, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then we're off to the races with the Sermon on the Mount. How would you classify these? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers and those persecuted for righteousness' sake. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. These aren't commands, and they aren't admonitions or warnings. The Beatitudes are anticipatory or revelatory. Jesus is showing what the kingdom of God looks like down here with us. The Beatitudes are an appeal to the empathetic imagination, and almost all of his parables also do this. So they're not commands, they're basically structures that Jesus erects in our midst to show us what the kingdom of heaven is like. Because he said, first one was, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And these people are all wondering, I mean, I would have wondered, like, okay, well, what's that? Okay, so this is a way of showing that. Let your light so shine before men. These are in order, by the way. I'm going in order through the Gospel of Matthew. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is a command, and it isn't meant to forestall bad behavior, but rather to encourage merciful acts, which is what the kingdom of heaven is going to be composed of. Jesus then notes that he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Okay. He warns his followers against teaching anyone to disregard even the least commandment. Then he extends the scope of a commandment and intensifies the warning. Okay, so he assumes all the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. He didn't come to bring anything new that way. Well, we'll see. But he says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, raka, that was a bad word, raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. There are about 60 exhortations of our Lord in Matthew's gospel. Some of these only appear applicable to his apostles. Of the ones addressed to the general follower of Jesus, which we are, about 10 out of the 60 are anticipatory and 15 are admonitory. The remaining pure commands follow, and I'm gonna basically tell you them in order. I'm gonna recite these in summarized form to you now. They're meant to abide in and inform our conscience. If we're going to follow the way of obedience, we need to know what we're being asked to do. Okay. Swear, not at all. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will serve thee at law, in a lawsuit, pursuing you for your whatever, let him have both thy coat and thy cloak. Okay. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's a pretty broad command there. All right, four is good. Sorry, it's simple. Do not your alms before men. We can do that one. Five, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and pray to thy Father in secret. When ye fast, be not of a sad countenance, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, well, that's got to be amplified by the other examples he gives you. Judge not, that ye be not judged. That's hard. Maybe there are some people like that. I am not one of them. all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, even so do ye to them. For this is the law and the prophets. It's a golden rule. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So that's basically showing the way of absence. All right. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now that's not general, but it applies to many of us here, actually. So I put it in there. Not everybody's married, but you know. His commandments for the partaking of his body and blood are next. That does apply to everybody, which is basically take, eat for the bread and for the wine. And that's the end of the general commandments. That's a summary of all of Jesus' commands, his positive commands to all of us, to all his people in the Gospel of Matthew, which is not the shortest. The way of obedience does not require a titanic memory. Our Lord says his yoke is easy and his burden light. You will have noticed that while some of these are very specific, do not your alms before men, many are very broad and open-ended in their consequences. Resist not evil. Living this way of obedience isn't, as Paul says, pablum for babies, but meat for mature adults who have some spiritual experience and also some judgment, some prudence in how these things are going to be exercised. We are halfway through our Lenten journey this year. Mothering Sunday, which is today, signals a break, a small break, from our regimen of fasting, but tomorrow it's time to buckle ourselves back down. I know I'm going to need obedience, abstinence, and prayer over the next few weeks to renew myself in Jesus and get prepared for the holiest week of the Christian year. One thing I didn't say at 9, but I'm going to say now, one of the good things about subjecting oneself to the path of obedience, the person who is commanding us, and I trust this from spiritual fathers that I've read, whoever is in charge of our, for a monk, it would be his abbot, say, if he's put under obedience for the individual monk. For us, if we're following these commandments, is Christ is the person putting us under obedience. And of course, we're all in obedience to Christ. But if we are trying to obey him and obeying him, any spiritual difficulties or problems that would relate in regard to evil spiritual forces, actually the person above you deals with and not with you. So that's a good incentive, I think. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.